Radio Prague News.
The situation in Turkey in the wake of the failed coup is putting Czech investments in the country at risk. The mining company OKD has been offered a 700 million crown loan from the state to continue operations. And Pope Francis has taken top place in a survey in which Czechs were asked to evaluate world leaders. The situation in Turkey in the wake of the failed coup is putting at risk Czech investments in the country, the Daily Hospodarske Noviny wrote on Thursday. Among those detained are the top managers of Nuxon Holding, a company for which the Czech company Vítkovice Machinery Group is building an electric power plant. The Czech Export Bank provided a 12 billion crown investment loan for the project, one of its biggest investments in recent years. It is now unclear if the project will be finished. According to Hospodarske Noviny, there are dozens of other projects involving Czech companies that have been put on hold, for which the Czech state has loaned close to 25 billion crowns. The Czech Foreign Ministry is reported to have entered into negotiations with the Turkish side. A loan of 700 million crowns from the state will be offered to struggling hard coal mining company OKD. The amount and terms of the loan to ensure mining operations can continue while the future of the company is resolved has been fought over during recent weeks by the Ministry of Finance and Ministry of Industry and Trade. The mining company, which itself launched insolvency proceedings, has said that 1 billion crowns would be needed. OKD had warned that the state could be faced with massive costs if mining operations were halted. Industry and Trade Minister Jan Mladek is to meet with the mayors of seven localities which are being considered for a potential nuclear waste storage site. The ministry's plans to conduct geological tests of these localities have raised a storm of opposition, leading the minister to narrow down the choice to two localities and then expand it back to the original seven after being criticised for the way in which the ministry was conducting the selection process. Talks now appear to have gone back to square one. Minister Mladek said earlier the ministry would not enforce the decision and the nuclear waste site would only be built with consent from nearby localities. The nuclear waste storage site should be built by 2065. A parliamentary committee set up to investigate a controversial reorganisation of the police force is hearing evidence from Olomouc's High State Prosecutor Ivo Istvan and two elite police chiefs on Thursday, the former head of the Squad for Fighting Organised Crime, Robert Šlachta, and former high-placed criminal investigator Jiří Komárek. Mr Šlachta originally asked to be heard by Parliament's Security Committee, saying he had evidence of links between the police and the criminal underworld. He resigned from office over the planned reform, which he believes is being undertaken to bring his team of investigators under greater control and undermine their independence. An opinion survey in which Czechs were asked to evaluate world leaders indicates that Czechs have the biggest respect for Pope Francis, who received a positive evaluation from two-thirds of respondents. More than half of respondents also gave a positive evaluation to US President Barack Obama. Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico is likewise seen in a positive light. Two world leaders who are viewed negatively are Russian President Vladimir Putin and German Chancellor Angela Merkel, whose initial popularity with Czechs slumped in the wake of the migrant crisis. Forever 21, the American chain of fast fashion retailers, is to open its first store in the Czech Republic this autumn. The chain is expanding to nine more European countries, including Poland, Slovakia, Romania and Portugal. Its first store here in the Czech Republic should open at the Černý Most shopping centre. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday is expected to be clear to partly cloudy, with daytime highs reaching 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the country has taken steps to boosting protection of so-called soft targets following recent terrorist attacks in Europe. There's a new plan for Czech ghettos, aims to combat dodgy landlords. And in the second half of the program, The Czech NGO Friends of the Earth is hoping to start a broad debate on expanding wilderness spots, not including the country's national parks. Measures to better protect so-called soft targets against terrorism are being rushed into place in the Czech Republic after the wave of recent attacks in Europe, suggesting that targets have shifted from big headline events and locations to sites where many people gather or where attackers believe they can make a point. Chris Johnston has the story.
The Czech Republic introduced a 0-4 ranking of the terror threat to the country in January. Ever since the attacks in Brussels back in March, the alarm has stayed at level 1, increased vigilance and basic security precautions. But the response to terrorism is evolving, along with the perceived threat. In the wake of recent attacks, mainly in Germany and France, which have taken place at such diverse locations as a shopping centre, near a music festival and in a church, Czech authorities are now moving to step up and widen security measures. The focus now is beyond the traditional locations where security is boosted at the first hint of an attack, such as main airports, railway stations or nuclear plants. The lesson from the recent spate of attacks is that almost anywhere where many people congregate can be a tempting target, such as cultural and sporting events and tourist locations. In response, police will now seek to work closer with events organisers, giving them advice on the security steps they can take, and there will also be a much closer cooperation with the operators of major shopping centres and hypermarkets on the specific steps they can introduce. A police telephone advice and helpline will be up and running from the start of September. Minister of Interior Milan Chovanec outlined the evolving response.
We had been prepared to launch this project from January the 1st next year. The National Security Audit had been dealing with the issue of soft targets. Given what is happening in Europe now, we have had to speed this up because the situation around us is very dramatic. It means, in effect, a degree of technical and on-the-ground support. It will mean some training of the staff who normally ensure security at shopping centres. It will involve some level of agreement between the Czech police and the owners of such centres over support and cooperation in the same way that has been going on for many years between the police and owners of football clubs.
Some inspiration for the Czech steps have been drawn from anti-terrorist precautions in Israel and the United States. As well as events and shopping centres, schools, hospitals and religious sites should also be regarded as the sort of soft targets which could merit extra attention and security precautions. The minister added that extra staff and financing should be focused on the Specialist Police Task Force, tasked with countering terrorism, and that he would be meeting with police chiefs at the start of August with a view to seeing what extra measures can be taken in the current context of attacks in Europe. While other priorities, such as fighting organised crime and corruption, remain, the minister stressed that countering terrorism is now clearly at the top of the agenda.
That was Chris Johnstone reporting there on the latest measures by the Interior Ministry to step up security at so-called soft targets in the country following these attacks that we have seen in Germany and France. Up to 115,000 poor people are living in 600 ghettos around the Czech Republic, according to Human Rights Minister Jiří Dienstbier. The cabinet has just backed its plans to help such people, many from the Roma minority, by redirecting part of their housing benefits away from often unscrupulous landlords and toward improving their homes and paying for services. Earlier, Ian Willoughby asked Kumar Vishwanathan, a community worker in North Moravia, who the owners exploiting the poor actually were.
They're from all over the place. If you see in Litvinov, they're from several countries even. The owners are people who don't probably even live in the Czech Republic. There are people from parts of Eastern Europe. There are people from the Middle East owning the property. And there are big problems because they collect the money and then they collect the money from the people, basically housing benefits which are given by the state. And then they don't, on the other hand, meet their commitments as owners to keep the buildings to a particular standard, to pay for the services. You know, basically, that's what is happening. Like in the far north and the far east, for northeast and for northwest. We have people who are not even very known to the local communities who own all these flats and who are very irresponsible, and who we find it extremely difficult to communicate with them and find some solutions and nudge them or push them into being more responsible.
Minister Deanspear speaks about setting hygiene standards and building standards. What kind of conditions are people actually living in these ghettos?
It depends on the will of the owners, yeah, mostly, and also on participation of the poor people themselves in keeping the place tidy and hygienic and up to a particular standard. And also, there is a problem among the inhabitants, because these people have been coming and going, and there is no sense of community. It's just like on a railway station, you know, people just stay there in a flat for some time and then they move away. There is no sense of home. There is no sense of attachment. So I think the time has come now for sort of even building, putting pressure on the owners, and also on the other hand, doing community work with the inhabitants, so that, the result can be quite different.
And are you optimistic that initiatives like this can actually make an impact and help the poor living in such ghettos?
The thing is that we have to do two things simultaneously. Be very strict with these owners, push them so that they're responsible, and give the people a fair deal, the state a fair deal, for the kind of money they're taking, the quality of the services must be adequate and appropriate. Number two, we have to work with the people. The people are discouraged. The people don't feel any motivation. The people are just atomized. Nobody trusts the neighbor. They all point fingers at each other. But this state is normal in a ghetto, and this state has to be broken, and it can be broken.
And that was community organizer Kumar Vishwanathan talking to Ian Willoughby. It's now time for Panorama with Daniela Lazareva.
The NGO Friends of the Earth is striving to start a broad debate on expanding wilderness sites outside of the country's national parks. Earlier this month, it released a list of 5 suitable localities where nature could be left to its own devices. These areas would, moreover, be open to the public. I asked Jiří Kožaloch, the NGO's program director, to tell me more.
Czech Republic has only 0.3% from wall area for wilderness, and most of the wilderness is in 4 national parks. So our environmental group, Hnutí Duha, Friends of the Czech Republic, suggested that Czech Republic needs new, relatively large, but not as large as national parks, areas for protection of wild nature. 10 square kilometers or more, so this is not as large as national park, but it's larger than, for example, some small protected areas in the Czech Republic now.
What would be the aim of setting up these areas of wilderness?
The aim of these areas is protection of natural processes. It's important for biodiversity because, for example, some very rare species of frogs or beetles are connected with, for example, dead trees and so on.
You have selected 5 localities which would have this potential. Where are they?
Yeah, we have a scientific study from experts on nature conservation, and this study identified potential for wilderness protection in the Czech Republic. So experts have found about 170 smaller places with natural ecosystem, and then they made clusters and identified about 5 most potential areas with the size more than 10 square kilometers. And these areas are Makita in Beskydy Mountains, east of the country, with beech forests. Chřiby, it's southeast of country. Libava, it's former military area, northeast of country. Litovelské Pomoraví, it's a river area in the central Moravia. And Jezeří in mountains Krušné hory in the northwest of Bohemia. It's very close to the biggest open karst coal mine in and near a beautiful chateau, Jezeří, with the beech forests and so on.
So these areas would be left intact without any human interference. How would it work?
The parameter is that we need exclude forest management from these areas, not the people, tourists, and so on. Of course, we need some rules for these places, but in our plan, these places will be open for people, open for tourists, for example, exploring the nature and so on.
Now, this land obviously already belongs to someone. Some of it belongs to the company Lesy Czech Republic, which is not enthusiastic mm-hmm. about the idea. It says that Czech landscape has been managed for thousands of years, that the country is densely populated and is simply not suited to this. What do you say to that reservation?
Yeah, I agree that that we have no really natural Asian forest. On the big areas, only some smaller places, but as I said, the wilderness protection it's not about preserving any right picture of Asian forest. The sense of this approach is that we protect natural processes and people like tourists and scientists can watch spectacular transformations of nature. So it's about preserving the processes, not the really Asian forests.
You say the Czech Republic should seek inspiration in Germany. Can you explain?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Germany has a national program or national strategy that 2% of area of Germany will be for. Protection of wilderness. So it's a state conception, and now they are looking for the places or areas for wilderness in Germany.
And who are you negotiating with here in the Czech Republic?
We started a negotiation with the Lesy České republiky and with the military forests and all these ministries like Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Defense, Ministry of Environment. So we started this negotiation with our study in the big seminar with the heads of these institutions.
And what has their response been like to this suggestion?
Yeah, they are now. They are the for example, state forests or military forests. They are quite concerned, but I understand their concerns because they are aims to the forest management and wilderness protection excludes forest management from these areas. But I think that we have the big debate for some conclusion.
This would. Require special legislation, would it not?
I don't think so. It's one way is some deal with the, for example, state forests or military forests. So we don't need new legislation, but new legislation is can be one type of approach. But I think that we don't need. Legislation, we can establish the new wilderness protection by the deal with the for example, state forests or military forests and so on.
Do you have any idea where the public stands on this? What is mm-hmm. the attitude yeah. of the public? Do you have public mm-hmm. support?
Yeah, I think so, because it was a public opinion survey, big survey, by university in Brno, and about 71% of Czech people support wilderness protection in the Czech Republic. For example, about 60% of people want new wilderness in the former military area. So I think that public support is quite strong. And now we must to make deal with the forest owners and state and so on.
Well, if your plan is successful, are you hoping to simply protect existing endangered species, or are you actually hoping to reintroduce species that have disappeared into these areas?
Mm-hmm. It's mainly for plants and animals which are in the areas now. For example, rare species of beetles, frogs, or bats, or large carnivores like wolves, lynx, and maybe very rare species like wildcat and so on. So it's mainly about natural development of these areas, not about reintroduction.
You've selected five localities, but is your aim to actually see one or two come about?
Mm-hmm. Sure, we are now in the stage that we are debating all these localities with, for example, forest owners and with the local authorities and so on. So, and then we will be able to choose, for example, one first most potential locality with the consensus, for example, in this locality. So we are now looking for which locality will be the best one.
So one locality, you would consider one a success. What would you consider a success? What is your goal ultimately?
Yeah, I think that for us the success will be if we the start of this wilderness debate in Czech Republic. If we will be able to create the first locality, and it will be the great start of wilderness protection in the Czech Republic outside the national parks.
Jiří Kosoluch of the NGO Friends of the Earth was talking to Daniela Lazarová in that edition of Panorama. That brings us just about to the end of today's program, but a quick reminder, if you'd like to comment on today's show, anything that you've heard, then please write to us here at the station. English@radio.cz is the address to write to. Let us know what you think. Also, don't forget, you'll find many more stories at our website. Radio.cz is the address online to visit. And you can also sign up for your free daily email or follow Radio Prague on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and all of us here at the Radio Prague station, thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.